Blog Talk Radio. Well, hello, happy Tuesday. Welcome to Drive Through HR. This is our last show of January. I'm Robin Schooling, along with my co-host Mike Vandervoort. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Robin. How are you today?
I am good. You're out on the road, huh?
I am. I'm in Plano, Texas, at a Hilton, and I'm at Global Best Practices, which is a restaurant industry conference that best practices, a lot of HR stuff, and it's put on by TDN2K. Always a great event, kind of their user conference, but you learn a lot, and it's cool. Anyway, it's all good. Hope I get to fly home tonight because there's supposed to be snow in Atlanta, but that won't happen. So,
nah, we were supposed to maybe have snow flurries this morning here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and we had none. So,
maybe Atlanta will be okay. Same in Georgia, yeah. So.
Yep.
Welcome
yep.
our guest. Yeah, we have a special guest today.
We do. We do. I always love this, this week, because for anybody who's listening, perhaps for the first time in the last several months, we took a stab at reimagining the show a little bit, and so each week we have a different theme. We rotate amongst four different themes, so once a month, we do our theme that we've hashtagged Do the Work. Shout out again to our good friend Franny Oxford, who coined that phrase for her blog years ago. But we love that title. So this is our week when we talk to an actual real-life HR practitioner, HR leader. And so this week we have Talia Edmondson from RevZilla. Welcome. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
Hi, Talia.
Tell us and our listeners a little bit about your life, about your day-to-day, the work stuff and the fun stuff.
Well, we can start with the fun stuff because
to
try to do fun things at work, right? But that all comes from fun that I have outside of work. So right now, I'm trying to fill the void that has been left by the conclusion of fantasy football season that is over.
Mm.
I'm a huge fantasy football fan. My husband has never beaten me, so for the record, he is 0-8 against me.
Mm. Yeah.
I've got a dog. My husband and I like to travel as much as we can, so those are pretty much the things to do for fun. Anything that's active, you can find me doing a little bit of everything. But at work is also a whole lot of fun. Things change all the time. So as you mentioned in the write-up for the chat today, RevZilla is headquartered in South Philadelphia. We're right down the street from the stadium, so I do get to see Lincoln Financial Field every day, which I know is not exciting to you guys as it is exciting to me.
Yeah, no.
But I'm sorry. Sorry about that. So being headquartered in South Philadelphia is great. RevZilla is truly a Philadelphia startup success story. I came on at about employee number 35 or so, and between our full-time and part-time employees over the last 6 years, we have crested 400. So we have had a lot of fun. We have had an incredible amount of work to do, but, trying to keep perspective on constantly growing and then just making sure that my team and I are iterating the way that we operate to face all of those changes has been a great deal of fun at work. So
what does RevZilla do?
Yeah, so RevZilla is an online retailer of motorcycle apparel, accessories, and parts. So we sell everything except the motorcycle.
Hmm.
Yeah. We also have a really incredible content piece to the business. So we have a YouTube channel that has a substantial number of subscribers, as well as a blog called Common Tread, where employees as well as fellow riders, anyone that is very active in the motorcycle community, can create and contribute content as well. We produce all of the YouTube videos on site, so we actually have a very large studio where we do all of our product reviews, and then the videos are shot here and edited and then uploaded to the YouTube channel.
Very cool. And you're not tied to one particular, you know, like you're not tied to just Harley Davidson. You're all motorcycles all over the world sort of centric?
We are most brands except for Harley. Actually, Harley has some pretty interesting rules around who can sell Harley Davidson branded items.
I would imagine,
We are not able to do that, but we can outfit that style of rider with things that are not Harley Davidson branded.
Interesting.
Now, I've had the pleasure of visiting the Revzilla offices on a couple of occasions, and I think we'll get into the sort of the employee experience of that in a little bit. But as a visitor, and as Talia took me around, one of the memories I have is we walked into, I guess it really wasn't a storeroom, it was sort of a, I don't know, I think it was gear that they were getting ready to check out, or maybe photograph, or maybe sample, I'm not quite sure. But it was a room full of the most wonderfully leathery-smelling stuff.
Yeah, it's really hot.
I still remember the feel and the smell of that room, because it was intoxicating.
Yeah, it is. So my office is right around the corner from the video studio, and I have always, I'm not a motorcycle rider, but I've always loved anything that had an engine that went fast. So I've always, you know, admired, I watch NASCAR. I've actually been to a few races, which is kind of unusual. I haven't seen a motorcycle race yet, but I love the smell of it. I love the sound.
Yeah.
So when they're using a torque wrench in the studio and they're, you know, firing up a bike that they're going to do a product shoot on, I'm so happy to be able to smell it all. It sounds really crazy. So I don't know if a lot of people love how their workplace smells, but I would absolutely raise my hand for that.
Well, one of the things that we know we wanted to talk about, because I think this is just, And you alluded to it already, but I think it's so near and dear to what makes you enjoy your job and makes you enjoy working there, is from the inception, from when you were employee 35 to growing the team and growing the organization, culture has been just top of mind and very intentional. Take us through that journey a bit, you know, how your owners, how the founders sort of mapped that out, and you know, I guess HR's critical role in stewarding that, you know.
Sure. So the three co-founders, you know, when a company is started by, at the time, they were in their 20s, you know, it's very much the story of, I started this business out of my apartment that was over this, you know, crummy store down on South Street, turning it into what it is now. It's definitely one of those, I started this in my apartment stories. But what the reason behind Revzilla was because the three of them noticed that there was this giant gap in serving the motorcycle community from a concierge, high customer touch point level of support, in terms of, you know, you could go to a store and depending on where you were going to buy something, there was typically an element of upsell, kind of a pressure to buy. What they wanted was to instead become kind of your friend and teach you what you needed to ride your motorcycle safely. That was just it. From there, they iterated on, you know, how that was going to feel as a customer. So as they designed the website, it was intentionally designed to, you know, take someone through a shopping experience based on the type of motorcycle that they ride. So motorcycling serves a variety of different purposes. You could be a daily commuter on a scooter, or you could be someone that does a track day, and your needs are very different. So one of their very beginning stories was they were on the phone with a customer who thought he was having trouble with a tire. So after a 45-minute long phone call that ended simply with him buying the tube instead of the whole tire, the customer said, "You know, I can't believe you're just going to sell me this $12 thing." And their response was, "Well, why would I sell you a whole tire when all you needed was a tube?" So the idea was, if that customer needed something, he was going to remember the experience, he was going to remember that there was no upsell, and after a 45-minute call, all we sold him was a $12 item. So all of those levels of, you know, making sure someone just felt like from the customer standpoint they were taken care of needed to be injected into the culture as they started to hire. So there was a consistent theme in how we were treating customers and how we were going to treat employees and design that experience. So when I came on, I came on in 2012, and that was a big hiring year for them. And the partners kind of noticed that there was not a deviation from the way that they were hiring, but wanting to keep consistent in the types of folks we were hiring, the candidate experience, and then how that turned into the employee experience, which I know experience is very, you know, trendy and buzzy, and everybody wants to talk about that, but that's someone's reality, either as a candidate or as an employee. Your experience is your reality. That is what is happening to you in whatever stage of the employee process or cycle that you're in. So what we did from there was, you know, we didn't have a handbook, and I didn't want to write a handbook. So everything we did was tied back to hiring in terms of let's hire excellent people who are going to use good judgment when they make decisions. And then from there, we'll just kind of give them the framework and some loose parameters and just encourage them to ask questions if they feel like they're going to do something that they're either trying to do for the very first time. One of our core values is take risks, wear a helmet. So we're not averse to folks trying things for the very first time with a decent amount of calculated risk involved. Rather than just put a policy in place on top of another policy on top of another policy, we've intentionally kept things loose. We check ourselves constantly. The leadership team is pretty consistently calling each other out for their shit. And we do it in a very comfortable, constructive way where, and it takes practice, you know, especially when we've got newer leaders in the room. It takes practice, but we're consistent in our approach. And every time we introduce something new, we just take our time to make sure that we're not contradicting something that's in place. And that way you don't kind of get buried under the, I implemented this one thing, but now I have to redo these six things over here. It's just keeping things simple and being very mindful of what you're doing to your employees and their experience.
What's the average, because I've never had the opportunity to visit, and that, not that I've,
you can come anytime you want.
I'll do that sometime. Thanks. That wasn't like a blatant ploy to get an invitation, but it sounded like it.
It worked, so that's great.
Close that deal just like that. My question seriously was, what's the workplace what's the average employee look like? And then kind of, is it a call center or is it something different in terms of the work environment that the majority of your employees are working at?
Sure. So our average employee age, is that what you're getting at when you say look like?
Who do you hire? Do you hire bike enthusiasts? Are they just average, you know, I don't know. Sometimes companies with a specialty like yours look for people with an affinity. I guess it's more like that. You know, what do you?
So initially the call for motorcycle riders was great. That has not been the case over the last, I would say, 3 years because the business needs change. So where at one point in time we were still really trying to establish ourselves as the dominant, most knowledgeable player in the space, you know, there's street cred that goes along with calling in after you've wrecked your motorcycle and talking to someone on the phone and having them say, oh, well, when I wrecked my bike, this is the helmet that I was wearing and I never got a concussion. So you're kind of building instant credibility with a customer when you can relate to them. You know, a few years later, the call to not necessarily being a motorcycle rider, but being someone who understands what it means to provide a concierge-type service to a person.
Mm.
So that could come from a variety of industries. That could come from, we've got folks, we actually have two people who work here who were practicing attorneys who are not anymore.
Wow.
We've got folks
wow.
from different banking institutions. We have folks, we have former teachers. We have, Philadelphia is a phenomenal restaurant city. So we have folks that come from some of those high-end food industry areas that just know how to focus on making a customer feel like they're the most important piece to the business, which they really are, but it's rare that you get someone in a contact center that knows how to take care of a customer anymore. I think that's kind of a lost art, to be honest.
Mm.
Yes, we do have a contact center here in Philadelphia. We also have a contact center in Las Vegas, Nevada, which is on the other side of a building from a fulfillment center that we have there. So we have fulfillment center operations in Las Vegas as well as Philadelphia and Louisville, Kentucky, or I'm sorry, Louisville, as I've been taught to say
Louisville.
Now. Yep. Louisville. So the contact center here has about 40 folks. The contact center in Vegas has about 10. That was newly launched last year. And the remaining pieces of the business that are in Philadelphia are all of the other support aspects of an e-commerce company. So you've got the Google geniuses that manage all of our search features, all the product designers, all of our infrastructure was entirely
mm-hmm.
built by our own engineers. We don't outsource anything. It might take us a little bit longer to launch something, but we will take the time to build it ourselves. And obviously, HR is here too. Our media and content team, everything else is in Philadelphia.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm going to do a quick reset here because we're about halfway, just a little bit over halfway through the episode. You're listening to Drive Through HR with Mike Vandervoort and Robin Schooling, and our guest today, Talia Edmondson from RevZilla. It's an online e-commerce retailer for cycle enthusiasts and talking about all things HR culture. I know, right?
We should do a sponsorship memo too, Robin. So the show today is sponsored by Q, Inc., which is the organization that I work for, and we're happy to do that. And if anyone is interested in positive employee relations, check us out at cueinc.com. Thanks.
that was perfect. We don't even have to record that, so.
The announcer voice.
So we're talking we're talking HR. We've talked about fast growth. We've talked about culture. We've talked about the smell of the RevZilla office, which is delightful. Another thing that I think, and you know, this kind of is a highlight for the HR team, certainly, but you know, watching from afar, I see the highlights for the entire organization, especially there in Philly. Your HR team has recently won some kudos as an HR team, which is super cool. The company continues to get a lot of kudos for being a top workplace and things of that nature. And you're very, very, very invested in the community. So it's kind of like three areas, but can you kind of talk to all of those? Because I think that everything just overlaps so perfectly.
Yeah, so I had the amazing opportunity to build the HR team that we have. I don't know that I'll ever get to do that again in my life. So having had the opportunity to do that here, I am so incredibly proud of this group. And we did win the Delaware Valley HR Department of the Year award in November, which was a very big deal for us. The process was really great for the team. It was an entirely collaborative effort. There are eight of us, including myself, between the two recruiters. We've got two people on the training team, and then we actually have someone out in Las Vegas because that staff size is so large who works out there full-time as an extension of the team. And then myself and a generalist on the team who are focused on the day-to-day. The application was very lengthy, and when we submitted it, we found out we were finalists. Three judges came on site to basically make sure we were legit. It was very nerve-wracking to meet three total strangers and have them basically critique your work. They also interviewed Matt Cull, who was our CEO, to make sure that everything that we said about how HR is regarded in the organization actually checked out. They wanted his opinion on the function. They wanted to know, you know, how much value we brought to the organization. But I think the trickiest part of that particular day was that visit was during Spirit Week, which we call Zillapalooza. And it was specifically on Orange Day, because orange is our signature color and we love costumes. We were dressed in orange from head to toe. One of our recruiters was actually wearing an orange jellyfish on her head and fairy wings and just this kind of ridiculous outfit, and we did not let the judges know what was going on just because we forgot. So when the three of them were greeted by a bunch of people in orange and a CEO wearing, you know, chainmail on his head, and this is, as I'm saying it out loud, I realize how completely ridiculous it sounded, but we were actually afraid that we may have blown it a little bit, but fortunately, you know, everything they wanted to know about us held true. But I think the greatest value in going through that entire process was knowing who we were benchmarked against, companies that we respect, with teams that, you know, we've met those folks out and about at different seminars and, you know, Disrupt HR events in Philadelphia. So we knew who we were up against. So it's great to win, but it's also extremely rewarding to know that the work that you're doing really stands up against people that you also respect in the function.
Yeah.
So I think that was the best part of it. You know, Revzilla has been named a Philadelphia top workplace for several consecutive years. And, you know, there was a blog post by Tim Sackett recently, and I was kind of bummed, and I did leave a little comment for him. I was bummed I know what happens, and I know of companies who actually, you know, will pay to have that sort of nomination.
Mm-hmm.
So when I see, or that designation rather, so when I see blog posts that kind of support that thought, I can't help but be defensive because I know what we go through. I am actually in the process of reading all of the feedback that employees have provided to us. So for us, we use the third party. We actually have to pay that third party to administer the survey and then get the feedback. If you don't pay, and it's a sizable amount of money, then you never get the feedback. So to keep getting better, and it's not just about getting the awards, it's about seeing what people have to say. So I am truthfully in the process of reading through 588 different lines of free type commentary, good, bad, ugly, and trying to find all the ways that, you know, if there has been a slip in our culture, how do we get it back to where it was? What can we do better? People calling us out, you know, or showing us our blind spots. And it's a painstaking process that I go through with the leadership team and evaluating, you know, if there's anything serious that's kind of going on in the background that we may not have known about. But I subject myself and the leadership team, as well as my entire HR team, to all of this feedback. So when we get it, I know the action that we take. And though the designation is not always honestly earned, I will admit that for us, there's a hell of a lot of work that goes behind it. So like I said, I have a hard time getting a little defensive or not getting defensive. But the community piece, I'm super excited about. I know, Robin, you saw the article about the work that there's one employee in particular, Martina, who is our corporate social responsibility coordinator. Tiger Elementary School is a South Philadelphia-based elementary school that is in a neighborhood that is largely occupied by low-income and immigrant families. And Martina was previously a teacher at Valley Forge Military Academy. So, pretty legit. Yeah. So we're lucky to have her, but her dream job is to try to save the world in whatever capacity. So we're fortunate to have her, you know, having started the program, again, in one of those take risks, wear helmet situations, pitched what we could be doing in the community. And Taggart was chosen because she reached out to the Greater Philadelphia Corporate Giving Council to find out what schools were in the most need and then pick the one that's closest to Revzilla. So we wanted to focus on education, and we wanted to keep it close to home, and Taggart definitely checked those boxes for us. So over the course of 3 years, Martina has been working with the Taggart Elementary School principal to build a new student welcome center, acknowledging that there are a large number of immigrant families in the area. The children, regardless of how you feel about immigration, the parent, everything that's being discussed about the border and all these things, the one element that can never be ignored is the children, because children are not in control of their situation. These children are in fourth grade. They have no say in what's happening in their life. And then you drop them in a school, and they have no idea what's happening. So Taggart has developed a mentoring system, and these children are 6 years old and 7 years old. They speak a variety of languages. 90% of the students have learned how to speak English. It is not their first language. And altogether, there are 13 different languages spoken in that school. So what Taggart's done is they have these amazing student ambassadors who raise their hands just to say, I have something I can offer this child. My experience was similar. Let me be their friend. So they connect with them on a cultural level and then just kind of throw in the P.S., let me show you how to take the bus. So the students are being set up for success. So we sponsored a new student welcome center that has everything a student needs, because a lot of the immigrants don't have anything when the student first arrives at school.
Yeah.
So they're provided with enough clothing for 1 week, a backpack, school supplies, everything they need to try and have the most successful school experience that they can. The state representative for Pennsylvania has committed a specific amount of time each month to work with the parents of these children in language services to help them become employable in the U.S., as well as computer training and access to computers that were sponsored by Revzilla as well. So it's not just the children, even though that is a large focus, but it is the adults as well. So I'm really excited about that piece of what's happening in the community.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I just love it. We can put the tag on it of corporate social responsibility, your organization, you wouldn't even have to put a tagline on it, because you would do it no matter what. And I think that's probably a great, I think adding to the culture for the employees and for the people that work there, and knowing that they're part of an organization that does those sorts of things has just got to be one of the greatest points of pride, I think, for people.
It's extremely fulfilling. We have that's only one piece. That's our biggest piece, and that was just in the news. The new Student Welcome Center opened last week, but we have a voluntary time off program. The entire program is called Zlanthropy instead of Philanthropy, where employees actually have a specific number of paid hours. So they basically get paid to volunteer, which is technically not volunteering, but we want to encourage them to take time to find organizations that speak to them and go volunteer, in whatever format that speaks to them on a personal level, because if you feel good when you do good, and then you just bring that back here. So we love that program very much.
It adds so much to engagement. That. And congratulations on that, Ty. I think that case study or that explanation or whatever you want to say also speaks to the fact that you don't have to be a huge billion-dollar corporation to do good in your community. You can you can do a lot with a little if you have the right intent, I think. And so a lot of companies miss that. So I think
Well, we're just about at the end here, folks. We could, again, as every week, keep talking forever and ever, but before we log off from today's Drive Through HR episode, Talia, if you want to let all our listeners know where they can find you online, Twitter, Instagram, email, etc.
Yeah, sure. So my email address is Talia. It's just T-A-L-I-A at RevZilla, which is Rev, like Rev Your Engines, and then Zilla, like Godzilla.com. I'm definitely on LinkedIn at Talia Edmondson. And then my Twitter handle is T-G-W-E-E-D-E-D, which if I ever meet you in person, I'll tell you that story in real time. But just, you know, just know I vacillate between, you know, football rage and HR stuff, and then anything that has to do with Michelle Obama is automatically going to get retweeted. So if you're down with that, you can find me there.
Fantastic. Well,
awesome.
Thanks so much for joining us. And
thank you for having me.
Everybody have a good week. We'll talk next week on Drive Through HR.
Thanks, Talia. Bye, Robin.
Thank
Take
you.
Care.